for our reading this morning. Let's turn to the Gospel of Mark and read chapter number 13.
Nađeno je evanđelje po Marku 13. glava.
And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be one left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them, began to say, Take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled. For such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But take ye heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son. The children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my sake, for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not return back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of creation, which God hath created unto this time, neither shall be. And except the Lord has shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. And then, if any man shall say to you, Lo, here is Christ, or Lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christ and false prophets shall rise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed. Behold, I have foretold you all things. But in those days after the tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender, and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things that shall come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass, till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's my prayer that as we consider these words of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ this morning, that the Spirit would speak expressly to you, that you would feel that God is speaking to you, and that this message is for you, and that your heart would be ready, would readily accept that which the Lord would have for you, and that you'd be willing, with a willing heart, to accept these words of the Lord, and to walk in his way, and live in a manner that's well-pleasing to the Lord. That's my desire for the message this morning, that the Lord would speak to you directly. These are certainly interesting words of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ that he has spoken to the disciples and that he has spoken to us. Many take heed to this message and find great interest in it and study things and try to find more and to understand it more. But yet these are the words that the Lord left for us. And this is what he would have for us. And so as we consider the beginning of this chapter, it says that they were walking out of the temple. And in case the Lord missed how beautiful the temple was, one of the disciples says to the Lord, "Behold what manner of buildings are here and the stones that are here." There was Jewish pride in this temple that was raised there, that was built. And it was not only the temple itself, but the courtyards and the buildings surrounding, and Herod had a palace there as well. And so there was a multitude of buildings there. And this individual disciple wants to bring attention to these buildings and to these stones that were there. And Jesus responds to him, "Have an eternal perspective, not upon these things that are here upon this earth, but an eternal perspective." And Jesus simply says to that disciples, you see these stones and you see these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. It's all going to be destroyed. And that alone, these two verses, should direct our hearts to an eternal perspective likewise. That these things of life that sometimes we see, we live in, it's our environment, it's what we know, that sometimes we put too much or undue emphasis on these things of this earth. The things that we see, the things that are great, that man has built. And Jesus reminds us here in this chapter that heaven and earth will pass away. It's all going to be gone. And Jesus reminded this disciple here that it's great, yeah, but it's all going to be knocked down. And there's not going to be one stone left upon another. And so that caused great sobriety among them. And so it is that Peter and James and John and Andrew, when they get that quiet moment and when they come more to a sober reflection, then they ask the Lord, "Well, tell us, when are these things going to be?" And Jesus begins by saying, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Take heed. And just as we've prayed together, that this is a key word here in this message that the Lord Jesus Christ is bringing to the disciples and to us here in this time. He begins by answering them saying, "Take heed." In verse number 9, he says, "But take heed to yourselves." And in two other locations here, he's also saying, "But take heed. Take heed to yourselves." We are to watch. And another key word that he has here as he's speaking here to the disciples, and as he left it for us as well, that we are to take heed, that we are to be very attuned to the things that are happening round about us, that we are to watch, that we are to be vigilant in our ways, in our walk of life, in our walk in the Spirit. This is what he's calling us to. Take heed. Be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of what's going on. And who he's speaking to is the elect. Again, another key word here in this chapter where multiple times he's speaking to the elect. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. And there are seducers, false Christ, false prophets, who want to deceive the elect. And the elect are going to be gathered from the uttermost part of earth to the uttermost part of heaven. And so there's this theme going on in what Jesus here is saying. Take heed, watch, and I'm speaking to you who are the elect. And so the first message that Jesus has for his disciples as they are inquiring, as they now sobered up a bit and walked away from that pride of what their environment was and the temple and the manner of stones that were there. He says, take heed that no man, lest any man deceive you. That we wouldn't come to the point, or they wouldn't come to the point, that all of us would not come to the point that we would be deceived. But that we would understand that message that Jesus Christ had brought to the earth and had spoken to the people, had spoken to the Jews, had spoken to others, and that they would that these words would be recorded, and that we would know them likewise, that we would know the truth, because Jesus had come from heaven above, and he brought forth the word of God. He brought forth his Father's message. And that message that we would know and understand, and know what truth is. And know that God sent his Son that we might have life. And Jesus came here that we might have life and that we would have life more abundantly. That we would know him. We would have that relationship with him. That we would walk with him. That he would be Lord of our lives. And he's saying, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. There will be many voices out there, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. Many shall come, and there will be saying, I am Christ. Or perhaps it's not just simply that they are Christ, but they are a solution. Or they represent something. And it says that they shall deceive many. They shall deceive many. And so he's guarding us. And as he ends this message to his disciples, he's saying, what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. So we are to be on guard. We are to be vigilant. We are to be paying attention to these things that are being said and that are around about us. Because Christ said that many would come in his name, saying that they are Christ and would deceive many. And he says further, and when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled. Don't let these things trouble you. We live in a society where we have access to so much news, so much to understand of what's going on in this world, that we could be troubled. But here the Jesus Christ is saying, you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, but don't be troubled. That's the message that Jesus has for us as well as he had for the disciples. Don't be troubled by these things. For such things must needs be, and the end shall not be yet. They will happen. These wars and rumors of war, they will happen, but the end is not yet. The end, that's not the culmination. That's not the end. So don't be troubled. And he says, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. He's simply saying that this is how it all begins. There's going to be wars. There's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be famines. There's going to be troubles. And this is the beginning. This is just the beginning. This isn't the end. But this is simply the beginning of sorrows. So I'm sure that as Jesus is explaining this to Peter, Andrew, James, and John, that they're truly being sobered up. They are no longer being mesmerized and enthralled by the buildings and the temple and the things of this life. When they're hearing these things that will be simply the beginning of sorrows, of earthquakes and troubles and famines and all these things, that truly that sobered them up. And then he says again, take heed to yourselves. Take heed. Pay careful attention to these things. For they will deliver you up into councils and into synagogues, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my name's sake, for testimony against them. And some of these things were applying to that time, of the time of the disciples, and some of these things that Jesus Christ is saying here apply to the end of age, to the end of this heaven and this earth as we know it. And perhaps this is one of the things that was specific to the disciples, because we see in the Acts of the Apostles that they were delivered up to councils and to synagogues, and they were beaten. And the Apostle Paul was brought before rulers and kings for Christ's name's sake. And it was a testimony against them. And it was so persuasive that the testimony that the apostles had as they went before these rulers and kings, that one of them said that, almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. And so these things were fulfilled, and yet they're fulfilled throughout since that time as well. And he says that the gospel must be first published among all nations. And then he speaks about that when they will lead you and bring you before them, don't premeditate or don't take thought beforehand what you'll say, because the Holy Ghost will give you what to say at that time. And that's a powerful lesson, in that what the Lord has to speak is very powerful. Our minds might come from a certain perspective, and we might have some knowledge about some of the situation, but the Lord knows all things. And the Holy Ghost, which resides in us, will speak to them as a witness against them. And there will be difficult times of family matters, and he says here also that ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. He's saying that we'll be hated of all men for the name of Christ. There have been social causes, there have been political causes that had nothing to do with the name of Christ, where men were hated, and they were killed for the political or social issue that they stood for. But Christ here is specifically saying that you will be hated of all men for my name's sake. And so when we hold the gospel dear to our hearts and know that there is no other way to heaven but through the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but through Jesus Christ. And when we make that proclamation, there will be men that will hate us for that. And that is then for the name and for the sake of Christ. But we are to endure. We are to endure. We are to watch. We are to pray. We are to take heed. And the Lord will give us strength. The Lord will give us of his power. The Lord will give us wisdom. The Lord will give us all things. He will do that for us. And as we abide in his grace and abide in him, we will be saved. We will be saved. Not of ourselves, but when we abide in him, we will be saved. He speaks of other matters here, of when there's difficulty to flee up into the Judean hills. And he also speaks, says here that, for in those days shall be afflictions, such as was not from the beginning of creation, which God createth unto this time, neither shall be. There will be great distress, and there will be great persecution, because the Lord has said so. And so this is true. But, note the mercy of the Lord. Note his love that he has for the elect. Because he says here in verse number 20, and except the Lord hath shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. Unless the Lord did his work, no flesh would be saved. There would be none that would be able to be saved. All would perish. But because the Lord is good, because he is gracious, because he is kind, he has shortened those days. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. For us who have answered the call of Jesus Christ, for those of us who have denied ourselves, taken up the cross, and are following him, for those of us who love the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves, for those of us who are walking in his way, he hath shortened the days. He hath done this for us because he loves us, because he cares for us, and because he wants to give us of his blessing, and that he would care for his own because we are his elect. We are his chosen ones. We are the ones for whom the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, was shed. And we had faith in that and believe in him. And he had given unto us the power to become his sons and his daughters. And so for because of that, because he hath loved us, he has shortened the days. What that means exactly, we don't know. And therefore we walk in faith. Shorten the days. What does that mean? That the length of a day is shortened? That the duration of those days is shortened? God knows, and we commit that to him. Further, he says, and if any man say unto you, again, in the context of taking heed and watching, if any man say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. Christ saying, believe him not. Christ isn't there or in another place. What did Christ say? That the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. It's not something we can see. Well, here's the capital city of this kingdom, and here's the parliament building, and here's the judicial building. It's not with observation. The kingdom of God is within us. The kingdom of God is within us. And so if one were to say to us, lo, here is Christ, or he is there, Christ says, believe him not. Believe him not. Christ, we're not going to go find Christ in some secluded area of Montana. We don't need to go to Israel physically to be in the Lord's presence. The kingdom of God is within us. His Holy Spirit resides within us. We have that relationship with him. So if a man says, here is Christ, or he is there, Christ says, believe him not. Simply just dismiss it. It's not true. Believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. So Christ is saying, there will be men that will come, and they will be able to do signs and wonders. That will be allowed. That will be given to them. But if we are in tune with the Spirit and have him abiding within us and keeping his way, we will recognize that work for what it is. These signs and these wonders that men can do, we'll understand. No, that's not the Lord working. That's not him. Those signs, those wonders that you see, they're great. The flesh might be moved by those signs and those wonders, but that's not the Lord working. And we pay no heed to that. We pay no heed to that. With the ability of computers and other things of this day, certainly we can see that to be true, that signs and these wonders would happen. But we recognize what's from the Lord and what's from man. And it's to seduce. And the definition of seduce would be to lead astray, to get one, to attract one to do something that would be foolhardy or inappropriate to do. That is the definition of seducing. And so these men who are doing these signs and great wonders, that's their objective. That will be their objective, to seduce, to attract us away from Christ. That might move the flesh, these wonders and these signs. That might move the flesh, but it will not move one who is anchored and standing on the rock of Jesus Christ. That will not move us. Those signs and those wonders. And we'll know that, oh, they're objective. Well, I know they're objective. They're trying to lure me away from the doctrine of Jesus Christ and from being a part of the kingdom of God. And it would be even for the elect that this seduction would happen. And then Jesus simply says, but take ye heed. I have foretold you all these things. The Lord didn't give us all the details. He didn't tell us when the day is going to be and all the details of it, how it leads up to this time. But Jesus, what he has told us is sufficient. And he's saying, so take heed. Pay careful attention to those things that are around you. And he says, behold, I have foretold you all things. All things that we have need of, we have been told of by Jesus Christ. Everything that we need to know, Jesus told us. There's nothing more that we need to know that Jesus didn't tell us. He told us all things that we need to know. And he tells us that. I foretold you all things. All things. When Christ says all things, that's all things that are sufficient for us to believe and to walk in his ways. But in those days, after the tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. We often think of that, and the sun being darkened, and the moon not giving her light, or having looking as blood, and the stars falling from heaven. But one other expression that Jesus Christ here says is that the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Men might be able to do wonders and show signs, but they will never be able to shake the powers of heaven. Only the Lord can do that. Only the Lord can do that. And so when we see a sign or some wonder that a man might do, we have to judge it. Well, is that shaking the powers of heaven? Is that shaking the powers of heaven? Or is it just delightful to look at from a human perspective? The powers of heaven shall be shaken. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are his words. He says that the powers of heaven shall be shaken. This is what we're looking for. This is the sign that we need to see. And Jesus says, behold, I have foretold you all things. And then he says, and then I'll send, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Great power and glory, far, far exceeding what men, false Christ, false prophets, will show in terms of signs and wonders. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes, it will be with great power and glory, and we magnify him as such. And we as believers look forward to that day when we will see Jesus coming in great power and glory. And then he says that then he will send his angels and he'll gather them, his elect, those who have been chosen, those who are anchored in the rock of Jesus Christ, who keep the sayings of our Lord Jesus Christ. These elect, he will gather them. The angels will gather them from the four winds and from the uttermost part of heaven, earth, to the uttermost part of heaven. This is what the Lord will do. He will gather his elect, those who have been faithful, those who would not take the mark of the beast, those who would not be seduced into believing any other doctrine. There is no other way but through Jesus Christ. And when we believe and we are his elect, he will gather us from all parts of the earth, and he will gather us to the uttermost part of heaven. Jesus says, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. This is what the Lord has. This is what the Lord will do. And this is the time frame in which he will operate. As these things happen, that generation shall not pass till all these things be done. And then he reminds us, and he tells the disciples, and he tells us that heaven and earth will pass away. Heaven, it's all going to be gone. That which we know, time, earth, heaven, stars, skies, oxygen, trees, lakes, everything that we experience, it's all going to be gone. It's all going to be gone. But the word of the Lord Jesus Christ will endure forever. It will never be gone. It will never be gone. It will endure forever. This is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's telling us these things that we might know them and that we might understand them. And so again, that brings into clarity that we are not to marvel at the stones and the buildings and the things of this life that will soon be gone. They're temporal. Heaven and earth will pass away. It's going to be gone. Stars will be gone. The sun will be gone. The moon will be gone. Everything on earth that we experience, it's all going to be gone. Then comes eternity. Jesus says further, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father." There's none that know that day. And we should all just be resigned to that fact. No one knows that time, only the Father. And then he says in this verse number 33, that's one of the shortest verses in this chapter, but it encapsulates the whole message. He says, "Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is." This is the message. Take heed. Pay attention to the things that are around you. Pay attention to what's going on. Pay attention to what's in your heart. Take heed to yourselves. Take what's in your heart. Are we allowing the things of this earth that are temporal, that are going to be burned up one day, to have a place in our hearts that's too high? That's perhaps dangerously close to eclipsing the stature of the Lord in our hearts. So he says, take heed, watch and pray. Watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. We don't know when that is. And he gives an example saying, "For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch." There's a man that would leave his domain, his house, his yards, his estate, and he would go to a far place. And those, the servants that he left behind, were given responsibility to operate that estate, to operate that house, to operate that land. And that's our charge as well, that we are to operate in this kingdom of God that he has left for us. And Jesus Christ will come again. He will come again. And we are to be watching in that time. Running out of time, but there are still some thoughts to share. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Jesus says that I have gone to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. So there's a place where he is going to prepare. And it's prepared for those who are ready. As he gave the parable of the 10 virgins, as the five foolish virgins were going out to buy their oil, the bridegroom came, and those that were ready were invited in to the wedding, and the door was shut. Those that were ready, those who had oil in their lamps, they were ready. They were prepared. And so heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And we are to walk in that way. How do we prepare ourselves? How do we prepare ourselves for this great and notable day when Jesus will come again in great power and glory? How do we prepare? How do we take heed? How do we watch as we who are the elect? First and foremost, sin has to be eradicated out of our lives. Sin cannot have any place in our lives. Anger, hatred, lusts, envyings, discontentment, all sin needs to be eradicated from our lives. This is how we will be ready. We need to be in earnest prayer, sincere prayer with the Lord, walking in his way, that he would provide grace for us day by day, that he would direct us in our paths. This is how we will be prepared for his coming. And this is what he's telling us to do, is take heed to your ways. Watch. We are to be in prayer, asking him for wisdom, for guidance, for strength, for mercy, for an increase in faith. And that we are to walk in faith. We don't know all things. Jesus gave us all things that he spoke of that are necessary for us to understand, but we don't know all things, and so therefore we walk in faith. Walk in faith, trusting in him. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I trust in him. I trust in him who's given me a number of days, who will one day come back here to this earth in great power and glory with the angels. I'm trusting in him. I have faith in him. And if I'm brought before councils, if I'm brought before men, I'm trusting in the Lord. And I'm going to allow him to speak through me. I don't know how it's going to go, but I go forth in faith. This is how the Lord wants us to be ready. And then we are to be his servants, doing whatever he would have us to do. Just as he gave that example of a man taking a far journey and left the operations of his estate unto others, and telling the servants to work, and every man, he gave to every man his work, and he commanded the porter to watch. We are to do what God would have us to do. And then we become prepared, and we are ready then for that place that he has prepared, where eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man those things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Toward the end of the book of Revelation, there's a verse, chapter 19, verse 7, that speaks to us as being a prepared people for a prepared place, that we have not been seduced, we have not been deceived, but we walk in his ways in faith, in prayer, in keeping sin out of our lives, and being his servants. He says, let us be glad and rejoice. Again, this is going to be a day of jubilation like never before when Jesus Christ comes back in power and in great glory. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Jesus is coming as a bridegroom for his bride, and we are, as the church of God, as his elect, have made ourselves ready and are called to the marriage of the Lamb, which is to come, and be a part of that supper. May God give us grace day by day. Amen.
King Herod's temple was far more grand than King Solomon's, and they both were destroyed to the uttermost. King Nebuchadnezzar was walking through Babylon and looking, marveling at what he built. Babylon is in ruins. And yet, we so easily put our focus on the things that we see. And we hear today a message, as the brother mentioned in the prayer, it's very sobering. It's very, because when you think about it, and what the brother mentioned, he says, there is a place that is prepared for a prepared people. So God today wants us to be prepared, a prepared people for that place. And how do we become prepared? Take our eyes off of, and it doesn't have to be the buildings and the cities. It doesn't have to be the wealth. It doesn't have to be those things. Take our eyes off the things that are deceiving us. And we just really want to know when. When is the coming? Just as the disciples wanted to know when, so we today want to know when. Why do I want to know when? So I can be prepared. How am I going to be prepared? The last minute. Well, that's not serving our Lord at all. A prepared people is someone who learns of the power and the might and the glory of our God, our Creator, our life giver and sustainer, and yet he came into this earth, took on flesh and blood to die for me. And he has a law, he has a commandment, because he is holy, that needs to be followed. And he shows us a way to be prepared. And when I learn of that, I fear him because of his might, what he is able to do. And his holiness cannot stand my sin. So what does it do? I fear him. And now I have just now begun to have wisdom. And that fear leads me to a love when I see who he is. And then I take heed, as the warning is, take heed, watch. It's a blessed day for us to hear these warnings from our Lord. And let us take heed and let us watch. Amen.